It's 6:45. I'm Anthony Morneau with KRWG News. School districts and parents revive litigation Wednesday that accuses the state of New Mexico of failing to provide a sound education to at-risk students. Two groups of plaintiffs filed motions in state district court to ensure compliance with the district judge's ruling that found lawmakers and state education officials were failing their constitutional obligations to ensure an adequate education. Since that ruling, the state legislature and first-year Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham authorized nearly $500 million in annual spending on public education, raising teacher salaries, channeling money toward at-risk students, and extending academic calendars. Gail Evans, a lead attorney at the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty that represents parents of public school children and two school districts, says that the state did not come up with a transformative education plan to truly help vulnerable student groups and that a court-ordered plan is needed. After a mass shooting, people and resources pour in to help victims and survivors cope. Guns in America's Lee Patterson reports, as these incidents continue to happen, this grim infrastructure is growing larger and more sophisticated.
After a mass shooting, people and resources pour in to help victims and survivors cope. Guns in America's Lee Patterson reports that as these incidents continue to happen, this grim infrastructure is growing larger and more sophisticated.
I caught up with Sandy Phillips on her cell phone in a rental car.
We are traveling 95 from D.C. to Virginia Beach.
Sandy and her husband Lonnie usually have bags ready to go, but they were already on the road. This trip was a detour.
We need to stop and buy underwear and some clothing to get through the rest of the week. But this is just part of what we do.
What the Phillips do is travel around the country to the sites of mass shootings.
The first one that we went to was 5 months after my daughter was killed.
Sandy's daughter, Jessica, died in the Aurora Theater shooting in 2012. When I talked with them in June, they were headed down to Virginia Beach. A dozen people had just been killed in a shooting at a municipal building. This incident was number 11 for them. When they arrived, they first went to the site of the shooting to pay their respects and talk to police. Then they headed over to the rec center to try and meet with survivors, though people don't always want to talk.
The first thing we always tell them about is that, you know, we understand exactly what they're feeling because we've been in their shoes, and that right now you don't even feel like you want to live. You just want to curl up and die. And that's a normal part of the trauma that you have endured.
A few months later, I met up with Sandy and Lonnie on the outdoor patio of a restaurant in Aurora, not far from Denver. And I asked them, since they started doing this work, what's changed?
Unfortunately, I think we've become more sophisticated, which is good, but so very sad at the same time that we have allowed this to redefine our country in such a way that we're getting good at how we respond to mass shootings.
The Phillips themselves have become more sophisticated over the years. Now they give advice on how to deal with reporters, what to do about online harassment, and how to spot scammers trying to make money off of tragedy. Eric Pearson, president of the El Paso Community Foundation, is dealing with these kinds of financial issues after a gunman killed 22 people at a Walmart there in August.
Each person has an individual set of needs and an individual situation that we're trying to deal with. A good example is, you know, how bad is the injury? What does that mean to you in terms of caring for your children?
He's talked with national and community foundations that have managed funds after other mass shootings. He says it's disturbing that there's almost a playbook for doing this work, but
we're not walking through the forest blind. There's a path in front of us that if we can find our part of that path, we can do right by this community.
During our interview, Sandy Phillips described a predictable group of people who always seem to show up to mass shootings. The guy from Illinois who makes the white crosses. Religious groups like the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, the lady from the Red Cross, and more recently, therapy dogs. They came to El Paso with Janice Maroot from Lutheran Church Charities.
They're comfort dogs. These dogs live in Nebraska, Colorado, and Texas.
The Golden Retrievers were stationed at the city's memorial near the baseball stadium not long after the shooting.
Oh, we've been to Orlando, Santa Fe, Harvey, Sutherland Springs. I mean, tornadoes, floods, fires, just wherever we're asked to go. Unfortunately, too many shootings.
Lonnie and Sandy Phillips were in El Paso, too. And this time, they ran into a new organized group of people that they had never really seen before. Dozens of trauma therapists meeting with victims at the community center and hospitals.
So the people who had witnessed the shooting and were upset, they were able to get help immediately. And that's what we've been preaching for 7 years.
And it's the new project they're working on right now, building teams of survivors and trauma therapists to go into communities after incidents like mass shootings. They hope to pilot the program in Colorado, where their daughter was killed. For Guns and America, I'm Lee Patterson.
Guns in America and KERA are spending 2 years reporting on the role of guns in American life. Find more at gunsandamerica.org.